Welcome, everyone, to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ron, on ESPN, ESPN.com. I'm back. My voice is back, right? I sound a little bit better this week. This is the No Respect episode. Think about this for a second. The New York Giants are 5-1. They're winning. They beat the Ravens. They beat the Packers the last 2 weeks. Giants are going to Jacksonville this week. Going to Jacksonville. Jacksonville. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay? Mind you, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have just lost to the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts, a game which they completely blew against the Colts. Let Matt Ryan throw for over 400 yards. Matt Ryan, who, by the way, is shot. Okay? Matt Ryan is done. So they're going to play in Jacksonville. Giants are 5-1, finding ways to win. They're 3-point underdogs. 3-point underdogs. So we'll talk about that a little bit in this episode. We're also going to speak to the one offensive player for the Giants that really has a chance to elevate them to the next level immediately, right now. So stay tuned for that in a couple minutes. I think you're going to like that interview. Let's talk for a second, though, about this win over the Ravens. Okay. Giants, another come-from-behind win. This was a miracle. This was a miracle win. We have to be fair and be honest. The Giants are down 10, 20-10. Their offense looks like there's no way they're going to score points. They're down 20-10 with about, they get the ball back around 11 minutes left. Go down the field and score a touchdown, which, by the way, amazing quality of this team right now. Every time they need to go down the field and score, they're doing it. Like, they're not explosive offensively overall at all. But every time they need to go down the field, Daniel Jones is taking them down the field to score. And it actually made me look up some of their stats. Like, they're 23rd in passing, I believe 18th in total offense. I mean, 23rd in offense, 18th in defense. So not particularly great in either side. But yet, they're 5-1. But then you go and look at, and they're 31st in passing, by the way. 31st. So we'll talk about whether this is sustainable long-term in a minute. But their efficiency, like you go to passing efficiency, they're actually really high. They're top 10 in offensive efficiency. The thing is, they know they're limited. Look at their receivers, playing with practice squad receivers. Great to have Wandale Robinson back already, their number one receiver, in 14 snaps. He's their top wide receiver. I mean, that goes to show you what they have at wide receiver. Like, they're dying for anybody to step in there and be competent and sufficient and make plays consistently. So he's back off the knee injury. Barely played. They're trying to get him ramped up right. You're talking about a rookie who played 9 snaps in the opener before getting injured and then missed the next 4 games. So you're going to bring him back slowly, little by little, more and more into the offense. But that's definitely a quality sign. Scored a touchdown, caught 3 balls, led all their receivers with 37 yards. So, instant jump for the offense. Instant spark with Wandale Robinson back. Daniel Jones still playing well. Arrows tilted up. 4 game-winning drives this season. Top 15 in QBR. I mean, I don't know if you... Look, the basic dolt can sit there and look at the stats and be like, Daniel Jones stinks, he's still not good. If you're watching these games and you don't think that Daniel Jones is a quality starting quarterback, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. It's the narrative shifters, right? The narrative creators, the guys who just want to, they have a narrative. Daniel Jones turns the ball over. He can't play. Look at his stats. He has 5 touchdown passes. It's those dolts that they're never going to believe in. They're never going to think he's good unless he goes and plays on a better team and throws the ball around the yard 30, 40 times a game. Puts up big numbers. But that's not going to happen here. The Giants know, A, they don't have the weapons. B, they don't have the offensive line to do that, right? Their offensive line is not a great pass-protecting line. Evan Neal struggled in that regard at right tackle. Mark Lewinsky's not the best pass protector. Left guard is a problem. John Feliciano, not great either. So, I mean, you're talking about a line that, while they've done an excellent job in the run game, is not great in the pass game. They've been better. They've been better the past few weeks. But they've been better in part because you're limiting them. Saying, okay, we're only going to go back and throw the ball 24 times. 6 of those are going to be naked boots, right? Another 10 or 12 are going to be play action. So now you're talking about 18 of the 24 dropbacks essentially trying to protect your offensive line, which is the right thing to do. Mike Kafka, Brian Daboll, they're doing it perfectly. They're maximizing their personnel perfectly at the moment. And that's why the Giants, a big part of why the Giants are 5-1. Wink Martindale's calling the right plays at the right time. You know, his unit is, bend but not break is not the right term for it, because they're a little better than that. They're not just like, we'll let everybody go down the field. But when they do let someone in the red zone, they're coming up big consistently. Now, takes a little luck, takes a little magic to win in the NFL. Giants got it the other day. They should thank the lucky stars, thank the Baltimore Ravens, thank Lamar Jackson. Baltimore had a chance, much like Tennessee did in the opener, to really blow that game open early. Made mistakes late. Lamar made an awful play. First of all, the game was essentially over, if not for an illegal procedure, which, by the way, Baltimore, 5 false starts / illegal procedures. Jeez. Awful. Now, Wink Martindale had a little wrinkle in there. Little wrinkle. He had his offensive line shift at the last minute, caused a bunch of those, which I thought was smart. But still, Baltimore, they converted that 3rd-and-1. It was 3 minutes left. They have a 3rd-and-1. They convert it pretty easily with Lamar. But essentially, the game was very close to over at that point. Nope. Illegal procedure. Fine. 3rd-and-6 now. Mess up the snap. Lamar's not looking. Takes it. Chucks it in the air. Julian Love makes a good play. Good return. Giants take advantage. Score a touchdown. Kayvon Thibodeau then goes, gets the big sack. He's playing better. That's also another positive. He's playing better. You see he's just creating more havoc. Disruptive. Like, it was what they were looking for. And by the way, I'm going to get in a minute to some of the other guys about whether they're coming back or not. Like the Aziz Ojulari's, Tony Galladay, Shane Lemieux, Nick Gates, Tony Jefferson. Give you injury updates on them in a minute. But, you know, Dexter Lawrence playing great up front. Kayvon Thibodeau being more disruptive. Tay Crowder doing his job in the middle. Adoree Jackson playing probably the best I've ever seen Adoree Jackson play. Xavier McKinney's a quality player. And Julian Love, tons of credit to Julian Love. I thought he was a piece. I thought he was one of those spare pieces, those utility men, probably would get exposed a little bit if he had to play full time. No, he's been really good. A lot of credit to Julian Love. He's been really, really good. But still, nobody, apparently, outside of Giants fans, respects this team. And I get it. They're not overly talented. They're not especially fun to watch from an offensive perspective. They're not explosive. You know how many 20-plus plays, explosive plays they had in that Baltimore game? 0. Goose egg. So I get it. They're not aesthetically pleasing, but they're not making mistakes. They're not shooting themselves in the foot. They're not killing themselves. And they're not losing games because of that. 5-1. At this point, I expect them to make the playoffs. They go 5-6 the rest of the way. And remember, this is a cake schedule. This is an easy schedule. Upcoming next 4 games. At Jacksonville, at Seattle, versus Houston, versus Detroit. I mean, 2-2 would be somewhat disappointing. So you're going in at that point to Thanksgiving and that Cowboys game. Say you go 2-2 at 7-3. I mean, you should make the playoffs at that point. So no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, there's some natural regression I would expect from this team. You can't have 0 20-plus yard plays from scrimmage and win many games in the NFL. Just not going to happen. You have to throw the ball eventually. You're going to have to throw the ball better. Now, maybe they could get better. I think that's what you're hoping for. The offensive line continues to get better. They continue to get healthier. Wandale Robinson gets back. Kadarius Toney at some point gets back, which I don't see. By the way, okay, let's get into the injuries. We'll roll this right into the little injury updates. I don't see Kadarius Toney being back so soon. Probably talking about another 2 or 3 weeks at least before he gets back. Like, this week doesn't look like it's happening. Be stunned if it happens this week. Kenny Galladay as well. So earliest is next week against Seattle. Toney, it might even be the week after. You know, he messed up his hamstring. Hurt the other hamstring. It's not great. It's going to be out a few more weeks. Galladay, same thing. Isn't that close at this time. But let's just say you can get them back by Thanksgiving, those two guys. And I think that's reasonable for sure. Expect both of them barring setbacks, to be back by Thanksgiving. Get something out of them. Should be able to help. Especially Tony. They get something out of Kadarius. I'm not sure what you could get out of Golladay. Remember, even when he was healthy, he wasn't really playing. Azeez Ojulari will give this defense a boost, I assume, this week. He really could have probably played last week against the Ravens, but they wanted to make sure. First of all, he hurt his other calf this time. So now he's had both calves injured so far this season. You want to play it safe. That's an injury that can nag. Those are annoying injuries, calf. If you ever had a calf injury, they suck. They linger. You still feel it for months. So you got to be careful with Ojulari here. But I expect him to be back this week against the Jaguars. Nick Gates getting close. It'll be interesting to see how the Giants handle this. They're going to have to make a decision on Nick Gates of whether they think he's still playing at a high enough level, where they see him at a high enough level where they want to activate him. I hope for him he is. His first padded practice was this week, so let's see how he does, how he did, actually, and how he sort of comes out of it and moves forward with that. But it'll be great to have Nick Gates there as a backup center, as a backup guard, as a swing option. Shane Lemieux, too. Look, he was on the scooter at the beginning of the year, which sort of indicates he had surgery on that toe. But my understanding with Shane Lemieux is the second half of the season, having him back is realistic. Now, I think Ben Bredesen has probably earned himself the starting left guard spot, and Shane Lemieux's coming back from an injury. It's going to take time. But those two guys would give that offensive line depth, which I think is important. So Nick Gates possibly being activated as early as next week, Shane Lemieux back by, you know, the middle of the second half of the season, maybe that Thanksgiving time area against the Cowboys. And then Tony Jefferson, who went on IR recently, he's also looking to be back after the bye week, the second half of the season. He hurt his foot. I believe he has a sprained foot. So that's really the update. The one guy I don't really know about is Ellerson Smith. I haven't really heard much about him coming back. I think that, look, the Giants at the moment, Shane Zimenez had been playing really well. He's a little banged up now. But Thibodeau's back. Ojulari's about to be back. Jihad Moore's playing really well. They're probably going to take their time intentionally with a guy like Ellerson Smith. So that's the injury roundup, at least the serious injuries. I mean, a guy like Saquon's dealing with his shoulder thing. I think that's something he's going to deal with for a while here, but he's going to play through it. It's nothing that they believe will affect his snaps at all, and that's obviously huge because this team cannot survive if they don't have Saquon. Cannot. So that's where we stand. Let's get to an interview right now with Wandale Robinson, the player who I believe has a chance right now to help elevate this offense and take them to a different level than they're at. On to the next one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's welcome in Wandale Robinson, Giants rookie wide receiver, coming off really a breakout performance. I guess, Wandale, you score a touchdown, right? You come back, you had the injury in the opener, only played 9 snaps. Do you almost look at this like this was your debut, like this was your opener?
A little bit. Basically, I mean, I was like, the first game, it didn't really count for me. I was like, I really didn't play. I really didn't feel like I did anything to contribute, so.
Good. So then your first NFL game, like at least in our creative accounting world, you score, you score a touchdown, on 14 snaps, right? You get, three catches, I believe, on 4 targets. led the team in receiving. So pretty good debut. Congratulations. There you go.
Thank you.
So you're running off the field afterwards, right? And they got video of you, and you say, "Where's eight at? Where's eight at?" Eight, obviously, Daniel Jones. What was that all about? Like, why were you looking for eight for Daniel Jones? And what's he doing carrying around a football? Like he took that football home. Was that your ball, or was he sentimental game for him, or what was that?
I don't know exactly what he did with the ball, but that was just more of like just showing respect to him. And he's kind of that leader, and he fights a lot, and he deals with a lot of pain going through the games and things like that. So just seeing the fight that he has and the leadership that he shows, it was just I just wanted to show him the respect that he deserves. So
that's interesting, because you know, you're talking about your first, like we just said, like your first career game where you played from start to finish. You really got to play. You didn't end up leaving early, and you're looking for your Daniel Jones. You're thinking about Daniel Jones afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, that's our quarterback, that's our leader. And so, he's helped me in a big way just with the start that I've had, and just helped me get to this point right now. So,
how you say he's helped you in a big way? In what ways has he helped you? Has he been able to help you?
Really just from the start, from the time that I got drafted, he texted me and just let me know, anything that I needed, just hit him up. And from there, we just kind of grew a chemistry. We're just kind of always throwing and stuff like that. And him just invited me to throw in sessions. And then eventually we all ended up going out to Charlotte and stuff like that. So
watching what was that like?
That was cool. It was just a bunch of the receivers and some of the quarterbacks out there. And we just all got to bond together. So it was really cool. But just being able to like sit down with him and talk and just really just develop a relationship and how he wants things done on the football field and things like that. So. That's just allowed me to get to the point that I'm at. So
I got to find out, like, what's Daniel Jones about? Did he get a nice big house on Lake Norman? Is that how you guys hung out? Or is it like he hooks you up? I need to find, I need to know the real dirt on Daniel Jones. Does he make sure your accommodations are set? Does he rent the house? Does he Airbnb?
I don't know exactly how he did it, but I mean, he made sure that we were in a good little setup. So he made sure that we were taken care of.
All right. So wait, Daniel Jones, last one on him for a second. I'm curious. You come in, right? What do you know about him, and what has surprised you about him so far then?
Actually what's funny, I was being recruited to Duke at the time that he was there.
Get out. Really?
And so I took a visit out to Duke and I actually met him there. And so it was just kind of crazy to see it all come full circle and I get drafted here. And he's just a really cool guy. So
did Duke never stand a chance? I mean, you're from Kentucky. You got the SEC school. Did Duke stand a chance?
Well, so actually, yeah. So they had a receiver coach and he was from Kentucky. And then if you looked at Cutcliffe's history with a bunch of his slot guys, a bunch of them caught a bunch of balls. So for me, that was really what I was kind of looking for whenever I was going to a college, which like kind of a place I could get on the field really early and just kind of make an impact just to show that I was a football player. So.
Gotcha. So tell me, like you get in the end zone the other day, big touchdown, right? At the time keeps the game, the game is really tight at that point. What is going through your mind? What's that feeling like? We can almost see like the jubilation, you jump up and down. You're kind of like pretty much run around half the field.
Yeah. No, so, I'm like, I went blank. Like I really did. Like, I don't even really remember too much of it. Like after I just remember catching the ball and seeing the pylon and I was just like, oh yeah, you're about to score. And then after that, I don't really remember really what else. And then got back to the sideline. I'm just like, wow, I just really scored my first NFL touchdown.
Did you have the football in your hand at the time? Or did you get rid of it in that excitement? Did you get rid of it and someone had to pick it up for you? How did that?
What happened there? Actually, whenever I got towards like the middle, like the towards the goalpost, I threw the ball and then Saquon had actually picked it up and handed it to me. And then I ran over to the sideline and our equipment guys had gotten it for me. Held it for me in the locker room. So,
and the plan for that ball you mentioned going to your mother.
Yep, it's back home in Kentucky now.
Okay, how many? What does it go with? You guys? Do you have a collection of footballs, jerseys, stuff like that? Like, what have you compiled so far to date?
We have at this point now in my mom's house, we have what we call our middle room. It's this the extra room since it was really just me and her living in the house. And so it has a bunch of my trophies and things like that. So it's just really kind of my accomplishment room and stuff.
With, the shrine to Wandale, right? Because I'm assuming you were a pretty great athlete growing up, because I remember hearing a story. I believe it was your dad that was on an interview. And so you were such a good athlete that he brought you to another town and you even like made up a name for you, right? Like, what was your fake name?
Well, so actually I was too young to play tackle football where I was actually from. So my dad was like, all right, if y'all are going to say he's too young, I'll just get a fake birth certificate and move him, take him somewhere else. And my name was Daquan Edwards, and then we had to drive 45 minutes every day to go to practice in Louisville. So, but yeah,
does anyone ever call you Daquan then?
No. Everybody eventually figured out that my name was not Daquan.
If somebody called you Daquan now, would you double take? What would your reaction be?
I wouldn't even mind it. I would just kind of be like, oh, they're not talking.
Well, so you were obviously a really good athlete though at the time. I mean, like, if you're able to basically, I guess you were too small or too young. What was it?
I was too young. So okay. I was 5 and
but then you're going and playing with older kids. So you're obviously good enough at that age to go play with the older kids. Did you continue? Yeah. Did you always end up playing with the older kids, or did you eventually come back down?
Well, so it was kind of like whenever I started, because like it was like I never played before, but I just started out playing with older kids. So it was nothing new to me, I guess you could say. It was just like normal. Uh-huh. But from there, I mean, my daddy, they just said that they had saw something in me with football. And eventually the next year, my city actually started tackle football with the kids my age. So I was essentially a year ahead of all the kids that started playing football and where I was from, at least. And basically, I just had that year head start on everybody. And like none of the kids liked to hit, and I would just like to hit everybody. So
so you were a linebacker, a safety. What are we talking when you were younger?
At that age, a linebacker.
Oh man, look at you. What do you think? What do you think, linebacker these days? That might be tough.
Yeah, no, not there.
You don't want a piece of Saquon, do you?
Nah, I'm good on that. I'm good on having to tackle Saquon the whole game.
220 pounds. Yeah, running backs coming at you these days. You could probably do it that way. You should stick to slot wide receiver. I think that's your spot.
So speaking,
yeah, for sure. So speaking of that, like, right, that's kind of your role. You're the slot wide receiver. So what are you expecting moving forward here? Like, this week was sort of like the build-up week, it seemed like, for you. And it seems like as we move forward here, more and more is going to be put on your plate. What are you expecting in terms of role and moving forward here with the Giants?
I mean, whatever the coaches want out of me. At the end of the day, I just want to help our team win. And whether that be playing on the inside, playing on the outside, and doing whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do that. So, I mean, just each week, it'll be a different week, different game plan. So I'm just going to take it week by week and do what I have to do. So,
how much did you do on the outside this summer? I don't remember seeing you on the outside a lot. I feel like they wanted you to, okay, you're a young guy, you're a rookie. Mm-hmm. You're probably a primary slot that we're going to, most of your time at least was spent in there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's some formations and stuff like that where we get moved around and things like that. So I do a little bit of different things, but I mean, obviously just whatever they ask me to do and whatever they need me to do, I'm going to do it. So.
And I'm sure you'll be successful at it as well, because we've seen already, you know, first game, 14 snaps, production immediately out of that. I'm curious what it is. We're seeing all these, you know, this rookie class you guys have, right? I mean, a lot of guys are playing. A lot of guys are contributing. What did they do internally to make that possible?
I mean, I think it really just started with our mindsets coming in, and we were just open to the coaching. And I mean, that was what they wanted out of us. They just wanted us to be sponges and just take it all in. And at the end of the day, they were going to give us our chances, and we just had to make the most of our opportunities whenever we got them. And right now, I feel like that's what a lot of us are doing. And We just have to continue upon that.
Did they tell you that we need you guys to contribute immediately? Like, when did you guys as a group, as rookie group, kind of realize that? I'm talking about like you, Bellinger, Neil, Thibodeau, like a lot of you guys really from day one almost were working with the first team.
Mm-hmm. We all felt like, at the end of the day, they drafted us for a reason. They didn't draft us to sit on the bench and just wait around and things like that. They wanted us to contribute and play and help this football team win. So we didn't look at it as anything as where they were just giving us and throwing us right into it. We just looked at it like where we had to earn it. And we just had to continue to show that we were going to try and get better every day. So
have you felt at this point, right? This was kind of your first week of getting to produce, but when you're not playing, that's kind of when you hear the fantasy football world, be like, hey, when you get in on the field, I got you on my team. How much have you experienced the fantasy element of it so far? And what's that like?
I've definitely gotten like tweeted at and people DM me and things like that, but that doesn't bother me at all or anything like that. So at the end of the day, I just have to go out there and play football and help my team win. That's really all that matters. So
let's go back to Kentucky for a bit, right? You played with Will Levis, quarterback, mm-hmm. big prospect. I've spoken to people, think he's going to be the number one pick potentially in this draft. Like, they think he has a legit shot to be the top guy selected. Tell everybody, what is it about him that makes him special? Has Joe Shane talked to you about him yet? Because we know he went and looked at him. He told mm-hmm. us he went to Kentucky, watched Kentucky, Florida, I believe it was. So have they talked to you about him yet? Have people asked you about him, and what makes him special?
If you look at him and, well, you see him and you're just kind of like, you play quarterback and you're trying to like raise your eyebrows. Cause you see how big he is and how he's built. That was my lift partner last year. So I've gotten to see him lift up close and personal and things like
that.
So
you're saying he's yoked.
Yeah.
He is. He's huge.
He's what, probably like 6'4", 230. And
okay.
Really all muscle for the most part. So, I've seen him do some crazy weight for a quarterback.
He could bench more than you.
Oh no, he's not benching. The quarterbacks aren't
because he's a quarterback. He doesn't bench.
They're cleaning and squatting and doing all that. And I'm just kind of that's pretty impressive. But and then whenever you just see him throw the football, the ball just jumps out of his hand. It's kind of unlike most quarterbacks that I've ever really been around. He can really just make all the throws out there on the field. Whenever that pro day thing comes, I think it'll be one of those things that everybody's just kind of blown away with. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the TikTok video that he has that went viral of him just throwing the football. It was just
I am unfamiliar with it. I don't know. So give me a rundown. What is this?
So before this is before he was my quarterback. I guess he was training during COVID, and this video just went viral of the quarterback just zipping the ball and around and stuff. And then eventually he came to be my quarterback, and I was like, oh, this guy.
And so he basically did the video when he was in high school, you're saying?
No. So he was in the portal at the time where he was.
Okay.
Or he hadn't hit the portal yet. It was one of those two.
Right. It was like right before.
It was like right before. Yeah. Right before the blow up and all that. So, that's just really him. And he's a really good leader. He got there in the summer with us and he became one of our captains and things like that within a month or two. So, that just kind of goes to show how he is.
So somebody comes to you, an NFL, personnel guy and say, tell me about Will Levis as a person. What do you tell them?
He's a great dude. Out there on the football field, he's really similar to DJ where he's just going to fight and really no matter what he's kind of going through, he's just always going to try and put that team first and just try to always get the job done. So
DJ's a big guy too, though.
Yeah. DJ's definitely faster than him. I can definitely tell you that.
Okay.
But Will might have more of the like rocked up type, but they're very similar in size. They're both like the personalities with those two are pretty similar. And especially with how they are out there on the football field. Those are just guys that I would just go to battle with.
Yeah,
I could. So.
So we're going to end here. We're going to play a game. Ready? It's called Pick Your Giant. All right, I'm going to name a category, and you're going to tell me the Giant player or teammate that you trust the most in this position. Ready?
All right.
All right, we'll start with this. We'll make number one an easy one. Your closest friend on the Giants is, pick your Giant.
Closest friend on the Giant. Probably said Cordell Flott.
Cordell Flott. All right, another rookie third-round pick out of LSU. Also trying to get back, so you probably spent some time in the training room with him the past couple weeks. You have to pick your bodyguard, okay? You're taking a bodyguard. You're going out in Manhattan. You need a bodyguard to make sure you're protected, right? Because you got 10 touchdowns now. And you got to make sure nobody's going to mess with you in the club. Who are you bringing with you to serve as your bodyguard?
Dexter Lawrence.
Dexter Lawrence. Why Dex? I mean, it seems pretty obvious. But
what? If I walked up somebody and I was trying to get with, and then he stepped in front of him, I wouldn't mess with him. I'd be like, nah, I'm good. He got it.
I mean, I get it. I saw the video, you know, that you guys did as a team, and it was like, who, you know, who's the strongest in the weight room? And Dex got a lot of votes there. I saw that. I definitely saw that. He's a beast in the weight room, I guess, as well.
I mean, I would definitely. I mean, if you see how big he is, it's kind of inevitable. I've never like physically just watched him lift. So I'm sure he puts up some crazy numbers.
Yeah, so. I mean, that would not surprise. When you see that as the name, you're like, okay, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so you need a stylist, right? You're getting an outfit together, big night. I got a big date. You got a big date night. You're putting an outfit together. You need to go and get that advice. You're going to pick your Giant.
Tyrod.
Tyrod, yes, I can see that, no doubt. Tyrod comes in. Tyrod's got some nice pregame outfits for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. What's it about his style that you like?
I mean, Tyrod, he's just different. I mean, he's not always going to put on something that everybody else can wear. And I mean, with me, I've seen Ty put on some stuff too, like just whenever he's going out and stuff, just being with him. We're with the same agency, so we've been able to be around him whenever, like outside of football and outside of the pregame outfits. And so I've seen a couple of just regular outfits, and I'm just like, yeah, he got it.
Okay, I'm down with that. He would have definitely, if I made a list of who you might pick, he would probably be near the top. So I'm not surprised there either. You're going to change. You're stuck on the side of the road. Okay. You're driving to work one morning. Uh-oh, your tire, get a flat tire, right? You need somebody to come and take care of your tire, right? You can't do it for whatever reason at the moment. You need to call someone that you trust, that you think can change your tire and take care of your car. Who is it?
Austin Allen.
Austin Allen. Why Austin Allen?
So I actually went to school with Austin Allen for 2 years at Nebraska. I know Austin pretty well, and I just know he definitely knows how to change a tire. And I know that Austin's one of those kind of people that really whenever you need something, like if you're really in dire need, he would definitely be there for you. So,
all right. Now here's a tough one, because you don't mess with a man's money, right? But you get as somebody needs a loan, right? You're loaning out, I don't know, too much money, right? But you're a good guy, so you're going to do it. Which guy are you willing to loan the money to, knowing that you're going to get that money back? Pick your Giant.
Knowing I'm going to get the money back.
Feeling confident you're going to get that money back. And in a timely manner, because, like, yeah, it's one thing guys pay you back. But if they pay you back over 10 years, it's like, yeah, come on, man. You know,
I would say Kenny Golladay.
Kenny Golladay. Why Kenny Golladay?
Kenny just an honest dude. Kenny, an honest dude, and he always gonna be up front with you. He ain't gonna play with you.
You know what? I get that. I totally get that, because we always say that about Kenny. Like, that's why we love talking to Kenny as like the media. Like, Kenny comes out, he's gonna say what's on his mind. He's gonna be honest with you. He's gonna tell you the real deal. So I totally get that. Yeah, there you go. All right, I like those choices. You crushed it there. You didn't really get me scratching my head too much. Like a lot of it makes sense. You're really validating what we think of guys so far. So I like it. I appreciate it, man. Nothing but continued success for you, Wando.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And we'll do it again soon. Thanks a lot, man.
For sure.
On to the next one.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. That's Wandale Robinson right there. The rookie wide receiver out of Kentucky. Look for him to make an impact here. As we move forward, you already saw it the other day. He was clearly their best receiver. He was essentially their number one receiver in 14 snaps. I mean, look at the production. Daniel Jones went right to him. I'm not saying he's a great player, but he's a decent quality NFL wide receiver even at the moment. And the Giants, quite frankly, don't really have that. So adding him to the mix certainly should help. We're going to wrap this episode up here with a little quick Jordan on the beat, and then we'll get out of here. This is where I tell you what it's like to cover the NFL, work for ESPN, or cover the Giants in general. And what I'm talking about here is, so we're back in the locker room this year. I've talked about this before. Now, Brian Daboll has created quite the dilemma, unintentionally. He has no idea what I'm, if I even brought this up to him, he has no idea what I'm talking about. So the way it works after the game, is the locker room opens about, like, it's supposed to be like a cool down period, let's say 10 to 15 minutes. Coach comes out, he talks. Brian Daboll takes a decent while to get out and talk. So then he comes and talks, and the locker room is kind of like open, like around the, opens right around the same time that Brian Daboll comes out to talk. So then Brian Daboll talks after the game for 10 to 15 minutes, and the locker room's open for 10 to 15 minutes. In that 10 to 15 minutes, a lot of guys talk, get out of the locker room. So the dilemma is, the way this is set up now, is you have to make a decision, right? You either go to, if you go to Brian Daboll, you're going to miss a bunch of guys in the locker room. You go to the locker room, you miss any key pertinent points with the coach, Brian Daboll, which is an important thing. So I'm kind of stuck at the moment of deciding what's the better move for me. Because I'm a lone wolf. I'm the only man in there for ESPN at the moment. Right, like some places, like The Athletic, they got two people. The New York Post always has, you know, who knows how many people to home games. You know, they'll probably have like four. I'm the lone wolf for ESPN and covering the Giants right now. So I got a big decision to make every game. And Brian Daboll could be rather dry, but especially during the week. But after games, he's a little more emotional. You can feel that juice and the energy. Sometimes he's a little bit better. So I'm trying to weigh, what's the better option? Do you want to hear from some of the players? Do you want their quotes after the game? Is it more important to get the key news after the game from Brian Daboll? Or is this something that I'm going to have to make the decision about, okay, did anything big happen? Did I need to talk to Brian Daboll? No, nothing happened. Let me go to the locker room. Let me get Kayvon Thibodeau after his first career sack before he gets out of the locker room. Now, fortunately, caught him walking out the door, basically grabbed him for a few extra questions real quick on the way out the door. But the chance is I can miss somebody like that. So it's a real, you know, you're weighing the options. The pros, it's a real pros and cons type of thing that you're trying to figure out there. And these are some of the things you have to deal with. And it's a little different because this is post-COVID. So we haven't been in the locker room for a few years. The whole locker room setup, it's a new regime, new coach. Some of the coaches, and this is ideal, coach comes out pretty quick, gives a speech in the locker room, comes out right away. He's out within 5 or 10 minutes. The locker room then doesn't open until 15 minutes. So you get the coach quickly. By the time you're done with the coach, then the locker room's just open. That's ideal for the reporter. It's not the setup with the Giants right now. So I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Got some decisions to make. Got to kind of reevaluate myself here. Reevaluate how to handle this. What's the best way to handle this? And what's best for you, the audience, the readers, the listeners? Like, what do you want? So I'm open to all suggestions. That's it for this episode of Breaking Big Blue. As always, like, subscribe, tell your friends, the best Giants podcast out there. Who else is giving you all that little info, those little nuggets on the injuries? Me. That's what I'm here for. That's why you want to listen to me, I hope. I don't know. I got to provide some value, don't I? Hope I provide some value. At least entertainment, maybe. Anyway, I'm Jordan Ronan. You're listening to Breaking Big Blue. See you next time.